You see, God's house is important. It always has been. Look at the Old Testament if you don't believe that. It's always been important. Whether it was the temple, the tabernacle, whatever have you, the synagogue, it's always been important. Or now, the New Testament church. It's always been important. God's services. Here we see the Bible says to not forsaken, to be in God's house. And that phrase I've always noticed, as the manner of some is. In other words, there's going to come those, as the day of the Lord approaches, that there's going to be some, their manner is they don't go no more. They ain't in God's house anymore. They've taken and think they know better than the preacher. They think there's no church out there that can meet up to their standards. So they just don't go nowhere. They think, well, because there's always a Susie in that church that talks bad about me, or because so-and-so over here did something wrong, or this or that, I just ain't going to go. I'm going to quit church altogether. I'm not going to let Susie keep me from doing what God wants me to do. I'm not going to let Uncle whatever his name is, keep me from doing what God or where God wants me to be. Amen? It's like I told somebody a few years ago. They said, well, I know, and they use these exact words, I know God wants me to be in your church. I know God wants me to be there, but because of this, this, and this, I just can't be there. I said, so you're telling me you're going to let that person keep you from being where God wants you to be? I said, I'm just asking. So you're going to let the devil win and let that person keep you from being where God wants you to be? I did that with somebody else before. They said, well, I know what you're saying, preacher. I believe in what you're saying here, but I don't think that ought to be in the church constitution. But I know God wants me to be at that church. God led me here. I asked them that question again. I said, so let me make sure I got this right. God led you here, right? Yes. You told me that many times. You've told the church that. Yes. God led me there. That's where God wants me. God's Holy Spirit led me to this church. I said, ain't that what you said? Yeah. I said, well, it sounds like to me then maybe you need to do what that says. I didn't say it quite that way. I said a little nicer. But that sounds like what you need to do then. If God led you there, then God must have that there to teach you something, to show you something that He wants you to do differently. Amen? It's to change you, not change the church. Church ain't changing. This church is going to do what Scripture says. Unless you show me where that's changed and a word's changed in it, I'm going to continue on in the things I've been assured of. Amen? Just like the Scripture and like Paul said. I got a clear vision of what this book says. I learned new things that maybe I didn't see certain ways before, but the doctrines ain't changed. Amen. The things ain't changed. They are what they are. They is what they is. They was what they was. And they're going to be what they're going to be. And this is what we're going to do. Amen. We've got a clear vision. We're going to do what that book says. That's it. That's the clear vision for 2020. Do exactly what the pages of this book tells me to do in my life every day, and try to do it in this place by God's help. You think about simply today the services of God. There's many today that say it's not important, but it is. The Bible says here in this verse, it was interesting, it said, as the manner of some is, and we see that today as people stop going to church that used to. I believe a lot of that's due because of the manner of some is. Amen. A lot of people try to figure out why. I think it's the manner of some is. It's right there. It's what's going to happen. Amen. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. It's going to happen even more. So when I see people drop out of church, it breaks my heart. It hurts. I don't necessarily look and say, well, what did that church do wrong? What I look at is say, that means Jesus is coming back soon. That means He's coming back sooner. When I see less people going to the house of God, it breaks my heart. When I see our country going in the direction that it is, people say, well, why? I'm going to tell you why. Because the day of the Lord's approaching. That's why. There it is. Black and white. People are running away. You see, today I'm saying they're being deceived and being deceived. They're deceived and being deceived. You think about today, the services of God are important for us if we're to keep a clear vision, if you will. There's many today attacking the coming of the Lord. There's many today saying, oh, well, He didn't come back and He ain't going to come back. Or you got to have all this. No, God's coming back. The rapture's the next thing. Denying it doesn't change it. Downplaying it doesn't change it. Attacking doesn't change it. All that does, I believe, is cause more people to be the manner of some is. I got more time. I'm going to sit on my hands. No, you don't. get up, get busy, continue in the things you've been doing, get a clear vision. Because he could come back at any minute, and as you see other people dropping off, realize that's the manner of some is. We need to provoke others to do good things and good works like the Bible says, and encourage them to get back in the house of God, to urge them to get back on fire for God and back in the place they ought to be, and say, you know what? You know, the Bible said it'd be like this. It said, as the manner of some is, even so much the more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. Okay. It's just a sign the Lord's coming soon. And very soon, we're going to see the King. You think about today, the services. They say, people say, well, and I thought about this, and the Lord gave me this part. We talked about this the other day. Going to God's house should be a glad time, not a got-to time. Amen. Should be a glad time, not a got-to time. Maybe going with the right attitude and the right heart. May the Lord help us. We're not going to just criticize and jump up and down and say amen about those that ain't here. What about coming with the right heart and the right attitude? Many today will say, I don't have to go to church to be saved, or I don't see why I've got to go to church all the time. Well, you know what the problem is? They don't see it. You say, why don't they see it? Because they don't have a 20/20 clear vision. They've taken off the scripture. They've taken off the glasses. They've gotten their head out of the Word and started looking and listening to everybody else. You think about today, the services are important if we're going to take and have a 20/20 vision. The third, the last thing, 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse number 14. You're familiar with the verses. Again, water on the plant, sunlight on the plant, glasses on our face. But we got to have it to see clearly. Sometimes we need to be reminded they're there. And we need to keep them there. 2 Corinthians 6:14. The Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? The interesting thing before we read on about this passage of Scripture that I find interesting is it's talking too about, if you read previous to this, some about those that are attacking the believers that are also saved, that are supposedly saved, supposedly know the Lord. But then he goes to talking about unbelievers. Unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Or what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, the Lord says, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So you can guess the third and the last point this morning. If we're going to have a third clear 20/20 vision, we've got to take and be in the Scripture, we've got to be in the services, and we've got to be separated. We've got to be separated. When I talk about separated, that means two things. First off, that means personal separation. Amen. Personal separation. In our lives, being separated to doing the things God would have us to do. I already preached on that, so I'm not going to go back and redo that this morning. But also personal separation in doing, not doing the things that we shouldn't do. Amen. Not doing the things that we shouldn't do. In other words, taking and not doing the things that the world does in our lives. Not doing the sinful things in our lives. The things that God's Word tells us to stay away from and to not do. Personal separation. We're to stay away from the things, the sinful and the wrong things of this world. I could talk about music for a while. I could talk about drugs. I could talk about alcohol this morning, wrecking and ruining families and homes and everything else. I could talk about lying this morning. Amen. I could talk about stealing this morning. I could talk about covetousness. I could talk about greed. Amen. I could talk about pride this morning. I'm talking about any of these things that are sinful, that are wrong, that the Bible says we need to stay separated from these carnal, worldly, fleshly desires and things. Separated. If we're going to have clear vision, we got to stay separated from these sinful and wrong things in this world. I think about that night at the store when I got pepper sprayed. Partly. I am so thankful I had these on my face. You say why? My store manager, he got it all in his eyes. You know why? He didn't have no glasses. I don't mean this bad or critical toward him, but I thought about this as an example. Lord knows he needed some four eyes that night. Because this was the only thing that kept it from my eyes. They would have been burning, stinging, hurting. I'd have had to go wash them out with some water. There's another lesson there. Anyway, to get all that done. But you know why I didn't have to have all that? And why I come through the spray or the fire? Because I had 20/20 vision. Because I had the right thing there. You see, today, if we take and stay in God's Word, it protects us from a lot of things. We stay separated the way we ought to be. We're to stay away from the things of this world. Amen. I think about the word church, and I don't say this enough, but the word church that we use, it comes from the Greek word ekklesia, and it simply means called out assembly. Amen. We as believers, we are called out. Amen. From this world. That's why verse 17 says, wherefore do what? Come out. Amen. From among them. We've been called out from this world to do the things that God would have us to do. We shouldn't associate ourselves. I'm not talking about going fishing. I've explained this millions of times before, and y'all don't want me to go into all this now, I know. But I'm not talking about sitting down and eating with a lost person. I'm not talking about at a lunch table over your lunch break. I'm not talking about going fishing with a lost person. I'm not talking about that. Amen. I'm not talking about not inviting a lost person over to your house to watch Clemson lose in a couple weeks. I'm not talking about that. Amen. I'm talking about going to places they go that we shouldn't be. Amen. Where they're doing the things that we shouldn't do. Amen. That we shouldn't be around. I'm talking about allowing those things to influence us. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. But instead, having an association and a sense with them so that we might take and do like Jesus did and seek to win them for the Lord. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. So don't take that wrong this morning. But we've got to be careful and be separate from the things of this world, if you will. And the same thing's true when it comes to, if you will, another part of the separation. We talk about personal separation. But the second type of separation, that if we're going to keep a clear 20/20 vision as a church, and the church is made up of what? Not walls and brick and mortar, but people. So it applies to us. I can keep saying it that way this morning. Is we've got to stay away from false things that's out there. False things that's out there. One of the biggest things, I shared this with somebody the other day, a couple people. I had a guy come in the store. He heard I was a preacher from the U-Scan lady. He takes and comes up to me and starts telling me, trying to tell me stuff about the Bible. And I'm sitting here thinking, this guy is, I don't have time to explain it all. For the sake of one word, he's nuts. Amen. I would never say that to him. I wouldn't tell him that. I would say it differently to him. That's not in the Bible. That's the way I'd say it. Amen. That's not in God's Word. If I told him he's nuts, he just wouldn't listen to me. But maybe if I could show him what the truth of God's Word says, he might listen for a second. Amen. So there's a way to do it and a wrong way to do it. But I'm thinking this is nuts. This isn't in God's Word. Why do I see it's nuts and he don't? Because he's been deceived. Amen. That could be me. And I want to just show them the truth. Amen. And show them what God's Word says. And there's a lot of stuff like that. It's talking about, you know, do you know why this happened and that happened and all this type of just odd stuff. But anyway, I'm saying that we need to stay away from these false things. I told somebody this the other day, and I believe it with all my heart. And I've talked to several preachers, and they say the same thing. They agree with me. We used to take and preach and teach. Sometimes we read the stuff in our Sunday school book, and we think, well, that's a little bit outdated, right? You know, like if we was to took and did the interview thing this morning, if it was to sit in there, the way that you get a job is you go in and you fill out a paper application. And you tell them you want to work there, like what Brother Gary was saying, or come back the next day. You'd have thought, boy, that book was written a little while ago. Amen? Because now you got Job Fox, Headhunter, whatever that junk was we was talking about this morning, right? It's outdated. We preach a lot of times, and we've said this. I've said this for years, but I'm going to have to change it. We need to stay away from the televangelists, right? How many times have you heard that? Those preachers on TV. You know what? I'm going to say this. How many preachers do you really see much on TV nowadays? Not too many, right? You know why you don't see too many of them? A little bit on Sunday mornings, maybe a little bit real late at night or something, or Jimmy Swaggart's channel, of course, but that's a whole nother story. But other than that, you don't see as much as what you used to, do you? You know why? Because it costs a lot of money. That's outdated, really, for us to say. You know who you need to stay away from? Internet preachers. It's free. It's free. And they can get your money and don't have to pay a dime to get it, because all they got to do is put up their cell phone and take a picture and put it out for everybody and deceive and being deceived. It's the internet. And you know what? That's where most people are hearing things nowadays. It isn't I heard this television preacher say that like it used to be. Now it's I heard this guy on the internet or this lady on the internet. Am I wrong or am I right? That's where it's coming from. We need to stay away. Be very careful. Be very careful. I'm just being honest this morning. Keep a clear 20/20 vision. We need to be careful. We need to be careful. We need to turn away from these things and be separate. I'm not saying we can't listen to somebody on the internet. I'm just saying we better check them out before we listen to them on the internet. Amen. Be selective, like we do when we flip through our TV channels. We better be very selective. Amen. We need to turn away from them, be separate from some of these things. 2 Timothy 3, the Bible talked about this. We're almost done, I promise you. 2 Timothy 3, 2 Timothy 3. There's a man at work, he come to me the other day. He come to me, he said, Pastor, and I'm not his pastor. He's got a pastor. But he come to me, he said, I want to ask you a question. He's a co-worker, and he said, he didn't call me pastor at first, but then he said, I know you are a pastor. Okay, that's the way he said it. He said, so I want to ask you a question. He said, I got a friend of mine. I said, and he started telling me some stuff. And I said, is he saved? He said, yes. I said, is he believe like you? Because I know how this guy believes, because we've talked a good bit. And he said, yeah. He said, I'm worried he's going in the wrong direction. And he told me what he was starting to believe. I said, where'd he get that from? You know what he told me, Brother Gary? The internet. And I'm sitting here banging my head against the wall again. And I looked at him, I said, yeah. I said, that's the way the devil's getting people nowadays. I said, I'm telling you, you got to be careful. I said, I know. I said, I'm with you. I said, I understand. He said, he's never believed like this, never thought these things before. He got to listening to some guy. And Lord knows. But here in 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 5, the Bible says, having a form of what? Godliness, just like those old televangelists, but denying the power thereof. From such, what should we do? Please say this out loud with me, the last four words. From such, try to change them. No. Turn away. Turn off the TV. Turn off the internet. Pull out the cable. From such, turn away. Amen. I hope if you was to come in here this morning and I was preaching some false doctrine, you know what you'd do? You'd not say, I'm going to overlook that. What would you do? Cut me off by going out the door and pulling the cable. Why don't we do that with other stuff? From such, turn away. From such, turn away. You would turn away. That's what the Bible says. From such, turn away. Have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. And you read on the next verses, and the things that I find interesting there, if you read on, the things that are interesting about it is it goes into the person's character and their sins and their sensual things. Why do I point that out? Because you can take and read them later for yourself. But a lot of times, you know how you can tell about a lot of these false teachers and preachers? Look at their lives. Look at their family lives, their home lives. Look at their character. Look at the person. I'm not saying we all don't have things we need to work on. I'm not saying we all don't make mistakes. But I'm saying a lot of times you can look at that person and you can say, their true character. Romans 16, verses 17 through 18 is another good verse of Scripture. The Bible says in Romans 16, 17 through 18, now I beseech you, he's begging, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. Continue in the things you've learned, as we saw earlier. If they're doing something contrary to the doctrine that you have learned, what do you need to do? Avoid them. Turn away. Keep the clear vision. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. They might say they are, don't believe it. They're doing it for their own selves. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Stay away. You think about simply today, folks, when you take and you look into God's Word, I think about there's a, you know, I hesitate to do this, but I feel led to do it this morning. There's one man that I'm going to mark and we all need to stay away from. If you ever come across something on the internet and it says Stephen Anderson, turn it off. Turn it off. He's an independent Baptist, supposedly like me and you, but I'm going to tell you what, he is a false teacher through and through. He's horrible. He's awful. And you look at who the people that's associated with him, and you need to stay away from them too. You say, how you become familiar with him? Guess what happened a few years ago? I got a CD in the mail here at the church, a DVD. You know what he does? You know how he gets into people's homes? He takes and sends you free DVDs to independent Baptist churches all over the country. Pretty documentaries. And guess what he does? Makes it look pretty, sends you something free, you listen to it, and the next thing you know. I've got two or three of them here at the church. I'm just telling you, you got to be careful. I went to other independent Baptist churches, and guess what I've seen laying over there on the corner of a pastor's desk or somewhere? Those same DVDs, Brother Gary. And I don't know if that church or that preacher's fell for that or not. It's not any of my business. That's between them and the Lord. But you know what? I know how he got them. They come in the mail just like to me. The last one I got, you know what I did with it? I got so mad and so upset, Kelly, I tell you. She come in there, what are you doing? Because I didn't listen to it with her around. I took the thing, broke it in little pieces, crumbled it up. I was shaking. I was so mad and threw it in the garbage can. And I told her, I said, if you ever see anything with Stephen Anderson on it, you better stay away from it. Don't never fool with him at all whatsoever or anybody that's associated with him. Now don't go home and look him up. Amen. What did the Bible say? From such, turn away and avoid. If you don't know him, be thankful. If you do, cut him off. Amen. Trust me, cut him off. From such, turn away, avoid them. I'm simply saying today, you take and you see, we are called, God's men, God's people, we are called, especially as ministers, to be blameless. Amen. Matthew 10, verse 16, talks about how the Lord has sent us forth amongst wolves and how we're to be harmless. Amen. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. May the Lord help us to do that this morning. I'm simply saying today, we need to have a clear vision this next year. There's many things that can obstruct our vision. Mm-hmm. Amen. The enemy will shoot them at us, just like I was at pepper spray that night, to try to get us distracted away from what he doesn't want us to see. He'll take and he'll try to make things look alluring and good. But all he's trying to do is blur our vision just a little bit. Just a little bit. Have you ever went to the eye doctor? How many of you go to the eye doctor mostly every year? If you ever went to the eye doctor, you walk in, you sit down. We have a lady that does ours in Lake Wiley, and that's who our insurance pays for. But anyway, we walk in, we sit down. She says, okay, read the little letters, you know, puts that thing, turns the lights out, all that stuff. Read the letters on the wall. You take and you, Brother Gary, sometimes depending on who it is, sometimes they'll make you take off your glasses. Sometimes they'll let you leave them on, you know. But anyway, you read the letters on the wall. And has it ever happened that you got done reading the letters on the wall? Better, worse, better, worse. That's the thing I hate the worst because all of them look the same. But anyway, you know, I can't tell better or worse half the time. And they get aggravated when I say the same, the same. This lady, she's a little more patient. The old guy, he's like, it can't be that way. I used to go see in Clovers. Is it better? Is it worse? You know, is it better? Is it worse? In the middle and show us. You know, she don't do that. She's like, well, is it? It's close. Pick one if you got to pick one. You know, I mean, she's a little more, you know, nice about how she does it to me. But anyway, I sit there and I've done that before. Went through the tests, and at the end of the test, she looks at me and she says, "Well," and you know, then they're getting ready to tell you something, right? What their conclusion is from the exam, whether you need new, stronger glasses, or whether you're good keeping on going with what you're going with, right? And I've had this happen, although it's been a long time, thank you, Lord. I've had them look at my glasses, you know, do all that stuff, look at my eyes, all that stuff. When they get done, they've said, "Well, I think you need a new pair of glasses." You ever done that before? You say, why? Because then they'll tell you, oh, this one's changed 0.2 whatever. This one's changed 0.5 whatever. And you really need to get some more glasses to help you see better. And you may be like me. I've done in the past. I'll be sitting there and I'm thinking, you know what? I've been seeing fine all along. Hey, yeah, no problem, Maria. They just trying to, I wish Tom was here. They just trying to get more money out of me. Amen, Tom? They just trying to get more money out of me. That's all it is. They want to sell me a pair of glasses. But you know what? More often than not, that's not the case, is it? You say, why? Because I've had that happen, and probably some of you have, and you've taken and you said, okay, Doc, you know better than me, I guess. Or you want the money one, right, Tom? Amen. Anyway, I'm saying amen for Tom. And they take you out there, you try on 9 million pairs of glasses, they tell you it's going to be $1,000, you know, or after your insurance, it's only going to be $200 then, you know, or whatever. Make it sound like it's some great deal. And then you take, and you, those they call you and they say, or an hour later, depending on the place you go, we got your glasses ready. And you go in there, and you pick up those new glasses. You put them on. You put them on. And this has happened to me before. You put them on and guess what? You know what? I can see better. You say, why? Because sometimes you don't realize what you've missed. Amen? Sometimes you don't realize what you've missed. We've heard stories about people with their hearing. Think about my uncle. I don't think he would mind me saying this. I hope not. Forgive me if I shouldn't. But I noticed a few years ago he's got some issues with his hearing. Guess what? He finally got a hearing aid. When he got that thing hooked up, got that thing right, he was sitting in the house. And you know what he told his wife? He said, what is that sound? And she said, what do you mean? I don't hear nothing. True story. What is that sound? She said, I don't hear nothing except the refrigerator. He said, the refrigerator? You mean that refrigerator's making noise? And she said, yeah, honey, that's the refrigerator. He went in there and looked, and sure enough, it was the refrigerator. You say, why do you say that story? Because he didn't realize what he had been missing all along. How many times has that happened to us spiritually? We think we're fine. Oh, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm serving God better than they are, bless God. They all need to get right. Put on your glasses. Get the beam out your eye. Listen. Look. Get a clear vision. Because you know what? You see in somebody else and not yourself. That usually means something's wrong with us. Look in the mirror. You see this morning what happens a lot of times. We take and we look at others rather than ourselves. May the Lord help us to make the theme of our souls, it's me, it's me, it's me, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer, and Lord, they need it too, and you take care of them, but Lord, it's me, it's me, it's me. We can't get this right. I can't get this right. The only reason I'm standing up here telling y'all how to get right is because God's called me to. Amen? But at the same time, I look at me and I think, you know what? They're closer than I am a lot of times. Amen? May the Lord help us to get us where we need to be. Amen. If we're going to have a clear vision in 2020, that means taking and doing what I never do. And I think a lot of us are like this spiritually, and I'll close with this. You can look at them now, Karen. Look at there. You got good sight. Look at them glasses.
I got my contacts in.
Look at them things. Look
at them.
Filthy. Filthy. I didn't even know it's filthy until I took them up, held them up at the... Oh, man. Some of y'all clean your glasses religiously because a speck bugs you. That's the way we ought to be spiritually. Some of us say, I'm fine. That don't bother me. That's the way I am with these glasses. I ain't got time to fool with that. That's the way I am with these glasses, and I keep on trucking. May the Lord help us not to be like that in 2020 and have a clear vision for Him. If we're going to have a clear vision, we need to dig into the Scriptures, stay faithful in the services, and stay separated for the Lord.